Yes, Luke 2, everybody's most challenging text, because as soon as you start reading these words, the eyes just glaze over because everybody's heard this before, you know. So it's really a challenge. And, you know, after you've been, this is why a lot of people take a call after 3 years in a parish, is because they can't think of anything else to say. So they figure, well, I can't think of anything else to say, so I'll go someplace else and say the same thing all over again. But you're not going to be like that, because you're going to work hard at Greek. Where are we? Here we are. Egeneta de entais hemerais ekenais. This is Luke's favorite oft-used egeneta plus here infinitive with N. And it happened in those days. a dogmatics textbook went out. Para Caesaras, from alongside of Caesar Augustus, a dogma went out, namely, to be enrolled for census purposes, pasantein oikumenein. Everybody's got to sign up in order to pay tax. Right? Now, an aside, this census, or this enrollment, apographe, prote, this first enrollment happened, now we've got a genitive absolute, hege maneuantas tes sirias kire niu. Here's the first. This is the a notorious historical difficulty in Luke's gospel. That is, the secular evidence seems to indicate that Quirinius did not become the governor of Syria until 6 AD, give or take. Okay. And if the birth of Jesus is normally dated about 4 BC, you know, something like that, then it's really quite a conundrum, and there's no, as far as I know, there's no definitive answer. You can say, well, it doesn't mean governor in the narrowly technical sense of the term. All the commentaries will discuss this, you know. So it could, and we do know that Quirinius is has military influence in Syria and in that sort of region. So you can kind of get out of this conundrum by taking hegemoneuantes in a somewhat a broad sense. Nigel Turner, oddly enough, he does something funny with prote, which naturally, most naturally goes with apographe, this first census. Oh, I remember what he does. He wants to translate prote adverbially as before. So it happened before Quirinius was governor of Syria. I think that's a stretch. I think the answer is probably that Quirinius is hanging around with exerting military and political might even before he becomes the official governor, so to speak. Anyway, all the commentaries mention it, and you can just pick a conservative one, and they'll give you some answers. Everybody began to go out, eporeu unta, began to go out for this purpose, to be enrolled in the census. Hekastas, each one into his own city. And, verse 4, Joseph went up from Galilee, a lot of geographical data now, from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth. So this is whence he comes. Now, whither is he going? Into Judea, into a city, the city of David, Hetus, which Kaletai is called Bethlehem. Why did he do this? Diata plus the infinitive expresses cause. Because he was, auton is the logical subject of the infinitive, because he was from the house and the descendancy or the fatherhood or lineage of David. You know, that's probably a good idea. If you're going to translate this or read this, just use English synonyms, but they're not the ones that everybody's reciting in their head. For instance, don't use the word lineage, because it just makes people's eyes glaze over, you know, when you just say it exactly the same way. Now, for what purpose did he go up? He went up, verse 5, apograpsasthai, to be enrolled with Mary, now an attributive position participle, te emnesteumene, who we had this last week in Matthew. Mary was betrothed. She had been wooed and won. She was Mary, who was betrothed to him. Now, in a predicate position participle, ouse, and it's a feminine singular dative, and it's referring to Mary, and she was pregnant, enkio. And enkio has got to be dative because the subject, quote-unquote, of the dative participle is also dative. So the whole thing's dative. It's kind of interesting. I've been impressed before with sort of the non-spectacular way that verses 1 through 7 are presented. I mean, it's just Caesar's in charge, government's doing what government always does, and manipulating poor people, and they've got to go up. And at the end of verse 5, he simply adds the words, and she was pregnant. Yeah, Chris? Well, that's the problem, is we search for solutions that could be true, and the answer is, yeah, it could be. But, you know, to actually establish that that's the case is very difficult to do. Right. Okay, now verse 6, and it came about that while they were there, once again, agenita en to enai autois, and it happened in their being there, and it happened while they were there. Notice, friends, that it doesn't say, I'm sorry, you'll have to change all your Christmas Eve programs, that they got to town and she went into labor that night. Right? I mean, this is the way the story has been embellished. It just says, while they were there. Now, unless Joseph was a complete idiot, you know, I think he would have planned ahead. Right? So how long were they in Bethlehem? We don't know. Okay. In fact, there's one other translational option which has driven this whole, you know, Mary kind of waddling and swaddling into town, you know, at the last minute, and then bam, the Savior of the world is born. It certainly could have been that way, but it doesn't say that. It happened while they were there. What happened? Hi, hey, Mary, to tekein autain e place theizon. I'll give a quarter to anybody who can parse e place theizon. What's the first principal part of that verb? Anybody remember? It's one of those weird ones. It's from, no, it's not from play ra'o, oddly enough. It's from pimple me, which means to have zits, right? No, this is actually the aorist passive of pimple me. Whew, I was thinking that some of you WashU people could do it. I still have my loose pocket change. The days of her bearing, literally, were fulfilled, and she bore. Tan huyan autain, tan pra pro tatakan, the firstborn son of her, and she spargana owed him. She wrapped him up in strips of cloth, which is apparently the custom of the day, and everybody who's had babies know that babies like to be confined. You know, they liked it in the womb. They don't want to come out. So you wrap them nice and snug, and then you bind them up like this, okay? And that, too, apparently is not unusual. None of this is unusual, right? And she reclined him on eklin end, autan. She aniklinoed him in a fotne. Now, that's a little unusual, okay, because this is a feeding trough for animals, a manger. Diati uk ein autois. There was not to them a place. Dative of possession. They did not have a place. Ento kata limate. Now, here's the big word. And, of course, the English translations all render it in. And at that point, mom back. And you unload all the truckload of the innkeeper, and the cattle are lowing. Of course, you get that from manger, too. And all this stuff that's, you know, that might be right. But here, you might actually, I brought an article. You probably want to read this. So write this down. It's from the Theological Review, which we have here in our esteemed library. Volume 2, you're not writing this down, 1979, by our friend Ken Bailey, in which he argues that, and he's quite right, katalima normally is translated upper room or guest room. Okay, there was no room for them in the guest room. Okay, and he asks the question from the perspective of ancient Near Eastern obligations of hospitality, is it at all likely if Joseph has relatives in Bethlehem that no one will give them a place to stay? And his answer is, it is utterly impossible that this is the case. And so what's happened, Bailey pictures it, I don't want to get sidetracked with this, but Bailey pictures it this way, that you typically have a peasant home or even a non-peasant home that has two levels at least. One is the ground floor where the animals come in at night because they bring the animals in at night. And so here's the ground floor, and then the second floor is about this high, okay? And dug into the floor of the second level is a feeding trough. And the family lives up here, and then there may be other rooms over here, and the animals come in at night, okay? But it's crowded in Bethlehem because a lot of people are there to be enrolled, right? And so Mary and Joseph are staying with relatives, right? There's no heartless innkeeper, but a nice innkeeper's wife, right? But your daughter can play that part in the play if you wanted to. And that Mary and Joseph are simply in a private home. Okay. But it's crowded, and so they lay the child, she lays the child in this depression, which has been dug in the floor of the upper level of the home, which is normally where the animal's food is placed. So it's really a very engaging argument, and as you can probably tell, I think it's right. But see, and if you had written that down, then you'd know where this article was. But you didn't, and I'm not going to tell you anymore. But really, if anybody wants that reference, I'll give it to them. Anyway, that's how it happens. Very ordinary, very pedestrian, nothing supernatural about it, right? Very natural, and the only unusual thing is the manger. Now comes the supernatural part. There's some good theology there, right? The event itself is carried out very quietly. Now God can't help but announce it through his messengers, the holy angels. But the event itself simply happens. Now, verse 8, and shepherds were, and I think we ought to scan all the way to agrauluntes and philosentes and make those two participles periphrastic, that is, linked up with the form of the verb to be. And shepherds were fielding, working in the fields in the same region, and guards of the night, during the night, epitain poimnain auton, over their flock. And here's where it gets pretty bizarre. An angel of the Lord appeared or stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, just perilampto, just like it looks like. And they feared a great fear. They were really scared. I was wondering about this. What would happen if a seraph appeared visibly in the chapel of St. Timothy and Titus on one Wednesday Eucharist? I mean, what would that do for our worship celebration? I mean, anyway, the angel of the Lord appeared, and these guys are scared spitless. They are utterly terrified, right? And he said, and by the way, of course, whenever angels appear in the New Testament, they always have to say, don't be afraid. Which is what this angel says. The angel said to them, "Me phobestis, stop being afraid, don't be afraid. For behold, I good news to you, great joy. I'm telling you good joy, great joy, which will be for, to all the people perhaps, or maybe dative of advantage, panti to lao, for all the people, because." You have to go all the way to soter to get the subject. A savior, a tekthane. Here's from Tikto. We had Mary Tiktoing earlier. Now the angel announces that a savior has been born, or was born. He mean for you, Samaron, today. What kind of a savior? Who is Christ Lord in the city of David? Here's all this Davidic. I mean, this is the throne of David, right? Yeah, and there's David, yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. What? I don't know. In the Old Testament you get this vacillation between who's doing the speaking here. You know, in one verse it's the Malach speaks, and in the other verse it's Yahweh speaks. I don't think, at least grammatically, you have that occurring in the New Testament. There's not quite that same identification, or semi-identification. Because it's an angel of the Lord who appears to Joseph, you know, in Matthew 1, it says, don't be afraid.
It's not Angelos Kyrios, is
it? It is in 9, and then in 10 you have the definite article. Right, 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 yeah. So it might be, you know, the angel of the Lord, But that wouldn't work very well because some people think that's the pre-incarnate Christ, right? And now here we have the incarnate Christ. Of course, we could take care of that with the doctrine of the illocal presence, right? That would be different. Anyway, a definitive I don't know on that one, Dave. Let's see, Savior Christ the Lord, and this will be for you the sign. Now, this is an Old Testament thing. This reminds me of Isaiah 7. You know, ask a sign of the Lord, make it as high as heaven or as low as Sheol. In other words, anything you want, you ask it, it'll happen, and it will verify something bigger and greater. Right? So, in this case, the bigger and greater thing is that a Savior, Christ the Lord, has been born, and here's a sign that you can now go check out to show that what I just said is true. Okay? And here's the sign. They're going, what's the sign? And he says, a baby. That's all you get. See? A baby, sparganaod, right? You will find a child who has been wrapped up and who is lying in a manger. That's the sign. See? That's all they get. Well, there's a lot of theology there. You know, we get what God gives. Let it be enough. And I don't want to wax homiletical, so we'll keep going. And suddenly appeared with the angel a crowd of the army of heaven. And because army is singular but a collective notion, now the participles which have it as referent are plural. See that? Stratios is singular, and inuntone and legantone are plural. This is the dreaded, as Velt says, constructio ad sensum. And they praised God, or who were praising God, and saying, glory in the highest to God, and upon earth peace among men of good pleasure. And that's a difficult genitive to render. I think the best guess is the one that you hear about, with whom he is pleased. And that also can be variously understood. I mean, obviously you could understand it as it's only for some people because he's pleased with some and he's not pleased with others. But, or you can understand it in a more gospel, universal sense that precisely because of the birth of this child, God's good pleasure now rests upon all the people, right, which we just had. And it happened when, hosts in a temporal sense, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds began to say, Elalun, to one another, let us go through, yes, until Bethlehem, and let us see to hortatory subjunctives, this thing, tahrema tuta, the having happened one, this thing which has happened, which the Lord made known to us. Whether or not it's the angel of the Lord, it's very clear to them from whom this message has come. And they, strong aorist with a weak aorist ending, they aelthond, they went hastingly, perhaps, and they, anhorisko actually means look for, but the lexicon says it, citing this passage, it has the implication of find. Well, I suppose that's right. They looked for and found, yes, the Mary and the Joseph and the baby as he lay in the feeding trough. And when they saw, they made known about the thing, the having been spoken to them one concerning this child. And just finishing up rapidly, all those who heard marveled at the things which were spoken by the shepherds to them. But Mary not only marveled, this is good homiletical grist also, but Mary kept on storing up together all these things, all these words. As she turned them over, she symbaluzad them. She tumbled them over in her heart. Yeah, that's good stuff. And the shepherds returned as they glorified and praised God because of all the things which they heard and saw, just as were spoken to them. Well, the challenge here is to find something that won't sound trite and to say the same story in a way that won't sound the way it got said last year. So it's time to stop. So we should stop here. Yeah.